Good Sunday morning to you. I hope you are all doing well today. I know many are excited about returning to their houses of worship today, and I know many are not going back to their houses of worship just yet because they're just not comfortable yet. But whichever the case is, those who are returning to the houses of worship, just have an awesome time in the Lord together as you celebrate the goodness of our God, the goodness of being able to be back together in corporate worship. And for those who are at home, well, I'm glad you joined me. For those who are driving or listening via live stream on the internet, thank you for joining us today for Sunday morning with Love in Action. This past week, restaurants opened back up, hair salons, barbershops opened back up. People can now work out at their favorite gym. So things are beginning to get back to somewhat normal. There's still a lot of the social distancing going on and sanitizing and everything still going on. And hopefully sanitizing will keep going on. That's a good thing that's come out of all of this, is people are now more aware of good hygiene. There are some who are still not ready to venture back out because of fear of the COVID-19 virus. And wherever you find yourself today, whether you are going back out or you're staying at home, just know that God's in control. Trust Him. Use wisdom that He gives all of us. But just don't let fear dominate your life. Let Jesus dominate your life. Like I said, whether you're back out or if you're still at home, just keep seeking God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. For those who are back out, don't look down at folks who are not yet comfortable venturing back outside of their homes. And the same the other way around. Don't look down at folks who are getting back out there, going back to work, going into stores, going to the gym, going to church. Everybody has to do what they feel like they have to do. I know for myself, we've continued doing pretty much life as normal as much as we can because of the restrictions. But with ministry, we haven't stopped. We haven't closed. At Love in Action, we've kept going because that's what God instructed us to do. So we have been obedient to Him and have seen Him do mighty and wonderful things. But now, as everything's beginning to open back up, just remember, God is the one who is getting us through this. God has gotten us this far. Don't get back into the rush of life where you forget about God. You forget about doing the work of God. Remember, God is with you at all times. And you have the greatest message, if you're a believer, to share with those around you, at work, at home, in the stores and restaurants, wherever you're at. Share Jesus with people and make disciples. And that's what we're going to talk about today, making disciples. But before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear God, we praise You, we love You, we thank You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving us, Jesus. Thank You for giving us life. Jesus, You are life. Thank You for the living water that You give us, that our spirits do not have to thirst again. Lord, I thank You that no matter what's going on in this world, You're in control. And we just have to put our trust in You. And therefore, we know that we're going to be okay no matter what's going on because our trust is in You. Father, I ask that You be with each person who's listening today. God, You know their needs. I just lift them up to You, Father God. Lord, I pray for healing for those who are sick. God, I pray for provision for those who are hurting and just they've been out of work and just hadn't been able to make ends meet. Lord, I ask that You provide for them, Father God. Lord, I pray for each and every medical worker in hospitals, doctor's offices, dentists, Lord, all of our medical professionals, Lord, that You will continue to watch over them, God. Keep them safe, keep them strong, and continue to bless them and bless their families. Father, as we open up Your word this morning, I ask You to teach us through Your Holy Spirit. Teach us, open up our minds, open up our hearts to Your word, and may we be doers of Your word and not hearers only. Father, we love You, and thank You for calling us to share the greatest news ever. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be obedient to You, and may we make disciples. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And of course, this is the Great Commission. This is what Jesus told his disciples before he ascended. It's a message to each one of us believers who would follow after the original disciples. Let's read, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Then let's go to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. We just read Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Mark takes it a little bit further when he records our Lord's Great Commission, starting in verse 15 of Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So we see in both versions, Matthew and Mark's recording of the Great Commission, that we are to go into all the world, not just one piece of it, but to go everywhere and proclaim the gospel. And Mark says, to the whole creation. Matthew says, to all nations, which means people groups. So it's the same thing. Preach the gospel to everyone. That's crystal clear to us. That's what Jesus commands us to do. He has the authority, and he gives us that in that authority to go out in his name and proclaim his gospel, because God is all about evangelism. God wants us to be evangelists. Now, I'm not talking about everybody going into churches and preaching a revival or having evangelistic crusades or celebrations, as they're now called. No, evangelism takes place the most one-on-one in small groups. There are those who are called to go, like Billy Graham, for example, to go and speak to large groups. I've been blessed to speak to some large groups, but most of mine, too, has come from one-on-one in small groups over the years, many times out on the streets and just telling people about Jesus, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when I talk about that, I always think about our first trip to the Philippines. It was an evangelistic trip going to work with indigenous pastors to preach the gospel. And on the way over there, I was reading the word, and I got up and went to the back of the plane to stretch out, because that is a very long trip. And I was talking to this man and telling him about what we were doing, where we were going, what was going on. And he said, "If you preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will have an untold harvest." And that's exactly what we did and what we have been doing all these years. And we have seen tens of thousands of people come to the Lord. And I couldn't tell you how many, and that doesn't really matter, because Jesus isn't about numbers. He's about souls. And he wants people to come to him and be saved. And Jesus clearly tells us to go out and do that. And Mark keeps going where he says that everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, what Mark is not saying is that he's not saying baptism saves us. That's part of being obedient to God, being obedient to the Great Commission. But baptism doesn't save us. Remember the thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized. And nowhere in the gospel will you find, or nowhere in the New Testament will you find, that baptism is salvific, which means you have to be baptized to be saved. But it is very important, and Jesus does command us to be baptized. But people are condemned for not believing, not for not being baptized, but for not believing. And then he writes that these signs will accompany those who believe, and he talks about casting out demons and speaking in new tongues and taking up serpents, and you drink anything deadly, poison, it won't harm you, and that you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We won't go too deeply into that right now. Some people have made theology out of a couple of those verses, which is wrong, but he tells us to go out. Go out in his name. And what I found personally is when we go out in his name, we never know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to see the Lord do, but we know it's going to be good. And so when we go out in his name and lift up his name, the most important thing is to see people get saved. Nothing is more important, because even if you lay hands on the sick and they recover, which that's an awesome miracle, and praise God for when that happens, but still that person's still eventually going to die. And then what happens? So the most important thing is for people to be saved. And signs and wonders, as we read in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all those signs and wonders, they bring people to Jesus. And that's what they're for, to show the power of God and to show that he is real and to bring people to Jesus. You have to remember back then they did not have a New Testament to read. And so for them to believe in Jesus, they needed to see things, to see signs, see wonders, and those things happened. And some of those things still happen today. But it was very important, especially at that time. Now we have the Word of God. We can read the Word of God. We can study the Word of God. And that's how many people come to the Lord, is just through reading his Word. But Jesus clearly tells us we are to go and preach the gospel to everyone. Again, everybody's not called to be a preacher. Everybody's not called to be to have an evangelistic ministry, but we all are called to tell others about Jesus. And we have to stop and ask ourselves, are we doing that? And if not, and if we are believers, then we need to repent and ask Jesus to forgive us for not being obedient to his great commission. And then let's go make disciples. Let's go tell people about Jesus and be obedient to his word, to his great commission. God clearly gives us walking instructions, marching instructions, I should say. He tells us that we are to go out and to tell others about him. Let's look at another piece of scripture here in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Luke 24, 44 through 49. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are all witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." So Jesus is telling his disciples, telling us, prophecy had to be fulfilled. I have fulfilled it. So now you're going to go out and preach the repentance for forgiveness of sins. It needs to be proclaimed to all nations. And he told them, beginning in Jerusalem. Now, all of us listening today, we don't live in Israel. So wherever your home is, consider that your Jerusalem and start sharing the gospel there. It's like when we first started 11 Action 20 years ago, Mike Schrodes and myself, our co-founders of this ministry, we said, look, if we don't proclaim the gospel here at home, if we don't help the homeless and the needy here at home, then we have no right going anywhere else, because God tells us to start at home. Even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So Jesus is saying, you can do this because I'm giving you the power. I'm sending the promise, the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we have the power of God living inside of us. Therefore, we can go out and we can make disciples. So we've been speaking primarily on evangelism, on going out and telling people about Jesus. Other part of that is we've got to make disciples. And I really like what David Platt says. He said, disciple making is not about sharing the gospel with people and then leaving them to figure out the Christian life on their own. Instead, we show them how to follow Christ on a day-by-day basis. This is why we can never limit disciple making to a weekly meeting in a classroom. Disciple making is what happens when we walk through life together, showing one another how to pray, study the Bible, grow in Christ, and lead others to Christ. I think David just nails that right there. Discipleship, disciple making cannot be limited to a classroom. If that's the only way we're making disciples, we are falling tremendously short. Look at Jesus. Read the Gospels. He taught his disciples. He proclaimed the word to them and showed them time and again that he is the Christ. And he always points everyone to the Father. Jesus taught in the temples all the time. He taught by the seashores. He taught everywhere he went, he was teaching. But he was also showing his disciples. Remember, they asked him how to pray. He taught them how to pray. He took them out to show them how to help others, to feed the hungry. Remember the loaves and the bread and the fishes and how he fed 5,000 plus people who were hungry. He took care of their needs and he was showing his disciples faith and obedience. And so he was actively teaching them by showing them how to live for him, because he invited them to follow me. That was his invitation to his disciples. He said, follow me. And when they did, they followed him and he taught them through word and through action. And that's what we have to do. That's why you cannot limit disciple making to a classroom. It has to have informal parts of it as well. And let me share some examples with you. At Love and Action, we proclaim the gospel all the time. Each day, we're proclaiming Jesus. But we also make disciples. And here's how we do it. We do have a discipleship method called T4T, training for trainers. We teach T4T to new believers and to people who have been believers for a long time. And we walk through scripture, basic scripture, to make sure everyone understands the gospel and God's instructions to us. And that is extremely important to do that. If we don't know the word of God, how can we live for him, right? So teaching, making disciples through teaching of the word is extremely important, and that's what Jesus did. But it doesn't end there. We also teach disciple making by showing people how to live, by showing new believers and the other volunteers who come out how to pray with others, how to serve others, how to love on others. It's not like we say, okay, hey, here is how you do it. No, we do it by example. I'm out there praying with people, and I have a couple of new believers with me, and therefore they're seeing how I approach people, seeing how I talk with them, seeing how I pray with them, serve them, and just love on them. And then what's awesome is to see those new believers do the same thing. And that's part of making disciples, is teaching people how to live this life. And therefore, we have to live this life together. It's not just once a week. If we're only making disciples once a week, I believe we're falling short there too, because that is usually going to be a formal setting, a classroom setting. Again, that's needed, but we have to go further than that. We have to take people out, live life with them outside the classroom, outside of that formal setting. And so that means we need to invest time. And I know people are saying, oh, Ken, I don't have time. Well, we have as much time as we want to have. I think COVID-19 has taught a lot of people that time is valuable and we can make time to do things that our Lord wants us to do. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to pay the bills and take care of different things, take kids to ball practice and all that kind of stuff that comes with life. But in doing that, we can still share the gospel and making disciples. For example, once baseball or whatever sport starts up first begins and you're taking your children to the ball field, you meet other parents. And so you start striking up conversations with the other parents. You're talking about your child and asking questions about their child and what school do you go to? How has things been going through COVID-19? You know, all kind of conversation like that. And then you lead it into a question of faith. Hey, do you attend church anywhere? What's your faith? You just bridge a conversation into that. And you start sharing Jesus. If they're a believer, that's awesome. Then you can iron sharpens iron. But if they're not believers, you can just start sharing the gospel with them. And each time you see them, let them know what God's been doing in your life. And you can lead them to Christ right there on the ball field. And say you do lead somebody to Christ. Well, if you don't see them any other times up at the ball field, that's when you can keep talking to them about the gospel and talking to them about prayer, about reading the word, and then ask them to meet you at a coffee house or maybe at your house, their house, and get to know them that way. And so you get to know the whole family and you get to talk to the whole family. So you see how one thing builds on another. So it doesn't have to be a classroom setting. Many times it's outside. It's outside of the walls of church. That's where you're going to meet people who are lost, getting out into the community. And we've seen many believers do that over the past couple of months when they haven't been able to go to their normal house of worship. So they're getting out, they're getting involved in spreading the gospel in other ways. And so that's been a positive thing to come out of this as well. So we have to be evangelizing. And again, a lot of that's personal, one-on-one, but we do have to make disciples. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who he discipled, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul writes, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul is telling Timothy, look, Timothy, I can't do it all. I need you. But you know what? You can't do it all either, Timothy. So you need to teach others. And that's where discipleship comes into play. And that's what he's talking about there is you entrust the word of God, you entrust the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. You teach others, again, the word and through action as well. And then they can go out and teach others. And so it replicates. Because if we're not replicating, we're not spreading the gospel. And praise be to God that these first disciples in the early church understood the Great Commission and lived it. And then those after them did. Because if not, we wouldn't be here today talking about Jesus. Now it's our turn. Are we going out spreading the gospel and making disciples? And if not, why not? We can come up with every excuse in the book, but it's no good. There's no excuse for not sharing the gospel. If you had a cure for the coronavirus, you would share that, wouldn't you? Well, we have something that is so much more important than that. And that's Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. A cure for the coronavirus, while that would be fantastic and that would be celebrated, it still doesn't compare to the salvation found in Jesus Christ. Because again, we're all going to die. One day, we're going to die. If we haven't accepted Jesus, given our lives to Jesus, surrendered to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then it's over. Hell is the destination, the lake of fire and the final judgment. But when we get to that moment and we have surrendered to Christ, asked Him to forgive us, He's Lord of our lives, we're living for Him, then we get to live for Him and with Him forever and ever and ever. And praise God, that is the greatest news that there is. That's the greatest thing we could ever, ever do. Think of all the great accomplishments that anybody in the world has ever done. Nobel Peace Prize winners to Academy Awards to Dove Awards, you name it. I was in journalism for many years, and of course, the Pulitzer, that was the granddaddy of them all. While all those awards are great, it still doesn't compare to the rewards we're going to receive in heaven by living for him here on earth and by telling others about him. You see, we have a cure for sin, and his name is Jesus. We've got to share it. And if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, oh, you need to know him. He is awesome, beyond awesome. And he loves you, and he wants to give you eternal life. And you can just call out on his name right where you're at. Just the Word of God says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10, verse 9. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. So confess to him. Repent. Jesus' first message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent, that means turning from your way and turning to him. And he'll forgive you, and he'll come in, and he will give you eternal life. He'll give you life right here on earth. He'll give you peace, love, joy. You're looking for fulfillment? You're only going to find it in him. I promise you that. I tried finding fulfillment in many different ways. But when I turned to Christ, oh yeah, that's when I knew what fulfillment was all about. And I love him so much. And I want you to know him, to know his love for you. So call out upon him. He's waiting. He's not going to hit you over the head with a baseball bat. He's just waiting. And when you call, he's right there. And he will give you eternal life. And if you have any questions, or if you've made a decision to give your life to him today, please reach out and contact me. Our number 11 action is 334-494-4995. That's 334-494-4995. My email address is ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. That's ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to give you some next steps. But Jesus loves you. Call out upon him today. And if you're a believer, share him. Share him with others. Take the time to tell somebody about Jesus. You can lead somebody to the Lord. He's in your inside of you. He's in your heart. He's inside of you. He's given you the power through his Holy Spirit. So you can do this because of him. And then make disciples. Live life with somebody. It's an awesome thing. It really is. And there's people that you'll get to meet and get to know that you never would have before. And your life will be so much better for knowing them. Because you know what? When you make disciples, it's not just those disciples who are benefiting from it, but you are too. Each time I make a disciple, I grow. I discover more about Jesus. So let's do it. Let's do the Great Commission. Thank you for joining me today. Know that Jesus loves you. May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.